Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome, my good people. Welcome to the CJ Moneyway Show. And I'm with your host, CJ Moneyway. Let's get it.
What's up, my good people? Welcome to the CJ Moneyway Show. Today, I'd like to welcome President at ShopX Labs, co-founder and chief officer of Data Dating. And so, yeah, I know I jacked that all up. But welcome, my man, Eric, to the show, man. How you doing, man?
Yeah, what up, CJ? I'm doing really well. I'm really grateful to be here. And based on our previous conversation, like right before the show, I can tell we're going to vibe extremely well. So yeah, it's going to be good. Going to be a good time.
Hey, man, I appreciate you coming, man. I know today's a holiday. And so you probably cut short some of the things that you were doing, man. But I'm glad you was able to book today, man. And we're here. So before we get started, man, it was something that I was reading in your bio that was kind of interesting to me, and I would like to know, how was the time spent in Barcelona, man?
Oh, dude, it was super chill. So it was a college program a while back. So I was interning in Barcelona, which was better than going to school because interning is much more relaxed than school. So, like, I mean, it's beautiful. It's lax. If you love ocean, if you love seafood, it can't be beat. The culture is relaxing. So like you'd wake up, you go to your internship, you'd end at around 5, you'd take a siesta, then you'd go out at like 10 and you'd be laid out, you'd be out all night and you'd do it all over again. Yeah, it was fun. People are extremely friendly. They respect. So if you're ever going to Barcelona, I recommend obviously get a bunch of tapas, get a bunch of seafood. And if you're at least trying to speak the language, like you're trying to speak Spanish.
Yeah.
Like they respect that, but they're like, all right, at least he's attempting. And then they're kind. And dude, while I was in Barcelona, I was fortunate too, because one of my friends from college, he was in college from Spain for the year, and we met, we became friends. Mm-hmm. He's from a town called Pamplona. So it's where the Running of the Bulls festival happens. Yeah. So he was back in his hometown when I was in Barcelona. So I got to go to the Running of the Bulls festival and stay with his hometown, like childhood friends. So I got the local experience for that. Plus, I don't have to go. Like, I have to plan anything. You just show up and just kind of run. It's good times. Good times.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, man. So, because the only thing I know about Barcelona is when they had the Olympics there, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It highlighted, you know, the city. It highlighted the country and everything. So you the first person that I ran across that actually said that they've been to Barcelona and doing stuff. So I had to ask that question, man.
Yeah. If you're ever traveling, you gotta try the food, try the local beer, and then do the local stuff.
I will, because I like seafood. crab legs and lobster tails. That's my meal right there. So tell us about this company, man, that you co-founder of, the one that I couldn't get to the name.
Yeah, no, the name is Data Inc. So think about Data Inc. So it's the first ever AI-powered matchmaking service. So what it does is it auto-generates dating profiles for users based on their digital footprint, and it creates matches based on other users' digital footprints. So for example, I could get 3 matches in a day, Ashley, Kimberly, Jane, because we connected our social media, mm-hmm. it spits up an AI bio based on their social media. It's like, okay, well, Jane seems cool. Tell me more about Jane. Well, she connected her Facebook. She's the youngest, you're the oldest. Our pattern recognition software says that works cool. She connected her to LinkedIn. You both have similar career paths. She connected her to Instagram. You both went to Barcelona. She connected her to Spotify. Oh, you both follow this one obscure artist who has a concert coming up. Would you like me to suggest a date with Jane? It suggests a date with Jane. She gets a notification saying, oh, Eric wants to go on a date with you. She sees my social media profile. She sees my bio. She sees my mutual friends. And this is important too, because from the female side, meeting a male online is obviously just, it's much more, it's, yeah, males can just, who cares, but it's more safety reasons to meet. You want more bio for that. Mm-hmm. And we go on that date. We go on that concert date. Let's say we fall in love and get married. And then from there, the app can function as a relationship butler. So it can be like, okay, you guys haven't been on a date in 3 months. We recommend this babysitting service for the kids. The place said your second date has half off ice cream. Would you like me to make reservations? Mm-hmm. Or it can be like, oh, it's her birthday coming up. You may not want to miss this. She just added this thing to her Pinterest board. This could be a good gift. What do you think? And then you can make the gift there. So it solves. So in the dating app market, there are 3 major problems that it solves. Mm-hmm. The first are in the dating app market, the top 5% of users get access to everyone on the app, creating a skewed marketplace. The second reason is it's basically attractiveness. Like, are you hot or not? Swipe left, swipe right. And the third and most interesting issue is the incentive structure behind the dating apps. So think about it logically. If you were to match with someone on Tinder, you fall in love, get married, what happens? You then leave the dating app, and this means Tinder then loses a paying customer. So their incentive is to rely on something called churn marketing, meaning people stay on the apps, so like delete the app, down the app, delete the app, down the app. Whereas Data Inc, we're a full service app. So like after we get the match, we will make our money. If you like our service, you like the dates you're suggesting, you pay for a date within the app, we will get a commission. So we're incentivized to get people on real dates. And if they like the service, they don't want to plan dates, they want to use us, they keep scheduling dates, the fee is worth it, it's good for them. And dude, this is the cool part. It's like dating is just like it's easy market penetration just because the dating marketplace sucks for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But it can be a community building app too. Like, it can be like, find me 5 guys in my local area into Muay Thai, into meditation. Finds me those guys. Oh, do you guys want to hang out? Oh, we can hang out from there. Or let's say when we meet face-to-face for the Laker game, mm-hmm. we're going to build it out so we can tap our phones. So imagine from the dating aspect, the first date, you tap your phones, it shows you all this stuff in common. It's like, oh, this is why you could be a good match, and you can take it from there. Mm-hmm. But we could do that too. It's like we could tap our phones. It's like, oh, we're both Laker fans. Yeah. Oh, we both like pizza, we both like this, and then you can build relationships in that way. So like whether it be like an office place, a college freshman meeting a roommate for the first time, just a random stranger at Starbucks, it can help show people what they have in common, and if they want to pursue a relationship after that, they're totally welcome to do so.
Man, that sounds pretty cool, man. How long have you guys been doing this?
Yeah, so it's relatively new. We've been building it for around like 8 to 9 months, mm-hmm. but it's been in the mind of the CEO for a while. So it's the technology just became available with the rise of AI. So we couldn't have done it before AI became mainstream, but now that AI is mainstream, there are a bunch of people creating apps, and this is just our way to add to the world. And that's an important point I want to touch on too with AI, because technology is inherently neutral. So like there are good ways to make AI, there are bad ways to make AI. So if the overall most people are using AI for bad purposes, the technology becomes bad. But the good thing is, most of the people who are building the AI apps and Web3 apps, they're overall good people trying to add to society. So it's not going to be like some Terminator AI type thing. AI is going to be a tool to just leverage for everyone else. and it's going to make their lives better. So if the builders and users are good, the technology becomes good.
Yeah, I mean, AI, it is, you know, that thing, it helps out in so many areas. You know what I'm saying? Like, I use it for certain purposes, like show notes and, you know, things of that nature. So I'm down for that, man. I wish you great success moving forward in that business too, man. It sounds pretty interesting. So tell me, what is it like being a consultant for big corporations when they're going through bankruptcy?
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you the double sided coin. So I'll go the positive and we'll go the negative. The positive aspects, it was chill. Don't get me wrong. Like, as a college student, having a job where you get paid very well, you get to interact with smart people, you kind of set your own schedule, meaning like, not set your own schedule, but like you're working independently those times. So like, no one's really just peering down. It's like, you make sure you do this and this. And you pick up some valuable skills too. You learn how to write a business email. You learn how to interact with business executives. You get really good at Excel. You learn how to talk on the phone. You get tons of skills. But my particular issue is it didn't align with my ethos. So that's why I ultimately left the job. Mm-hmm. The reason it didn't align with the ethos, and I was really getting into cryptocurrency at the time, is as a consultant, you're billing out a client for an hourly wage. So every hour I worked as a consultant, we would get paid from the client's pocketbook, which is normally fine. Like, if they want to pay, good for them. But in this particular case, it's a bankruptcy company. So they're going through the Fortune 500 bankruptcy process. So they're not making money. Otherwise, they wouldn't be bankrupt. Yeah. And so we're taking from a pool of money that should have been going to the creditors. So like the everyday people like me and you. Mm-hmm. And in the bankruptcy process, there's tiers of creditors too. So like, tier one gets paid first, tier two gets paid second, tier three gets paid third, tier four gets paid last. And obviously, because it's a systematic issue. It's like the me and you. Like if you're just like, if you randomly invested in a company and they're going through bankruptcy process, we would get the leftovers. Mm-hmm. So we were taking money from, I guess, in my opinion, the people who need it most. Mm-hmm. And working with the clients, I was talking with a lot of them on the phone, and I'm just like, oh, this kind of sucks. So yeah, it's like I want to help you, but I can't. And on top of that, the incentives are wrong too. It's like, the consultants, because consultants are hourly based. The more our firm charges, the more we make. The lawyers are also hourly based. The more they charge, the more they make. So it's an incentive where a lot of people are just kind of hourly. Like, they're like, I'm going to bill as much as I can. Like, not on purpose, but like, even for me, my example, it wasn't on purpose. Like, oh, so like, yeah, if you want to double check the spreadsheet again, feel free type of thing, where it's like, okay, that just means we'll bill out more. So the incentives are pretty much misaligned. Mm. But it was cool though. Like, I mean, it led me to where I am now, so I'm grateful that part of my life happened.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big believer too that even things that, you know, sometimes you may not want to do some things, but you're in that position that, you know, like, I might have a job, like, oh, I don't like this job, or I hate this job. But like you said, but as you move on in life, it was something in that job that I needed to go to the next level. You know, although I did want to do it, I did, you know, whatever. But it was some things that I learned that helped me in my progression, you know what I'm saying, with things that I'm like some things I'm doing now, it was some things that back then has helped me and leveled me to where I am today, like you said. So yeah, I agree with you on that one.
No, exactly right. Like, it's better to look at the universe. It's like, the universe is working for me, not against me. And besides, like, I believe there's a God, I believe there's a creator, I believe there's a consciousness, whatever name you want to call it. Like, we can't even fathom it just because we're not at the level. Like, we're trying to put a name on something that we're just way above our heads. But let's say there is that entity above. Mm-hmm. I think that, like, he has a plan for me, he has a plan for you, and he loves us, so the plan for us is good. And we're too, like, I can't understand the plan, but I just know it's working out for my favor. So like you said, if something perceived as negative happens, like, well, that the thing is, he has a good plan for me, so I just have to follow the plan. And if the plan work out well, if you just go with the flow and follow what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then sometimes with the plan, there's going to be some downfalls.
Yeah.
There's going to be some pitfalls. And you just got to keep on going. And once you understand that his plan is better than my plan, and, you know, you just move forward. And that makes your life a lot more easier, too. Like, you know, he works all things together for our good. So, you know. So, yeah, I agree with that 100%. So, with the ShopX, man. So tell us a little bit about ShopX and what's your role in that?
Yes, sure. So ShopX is a way for Web2 brands to monetize in Web3. So let's say you're running a Web2 e-commerce brand, like let's say you're Nike, and you want to enter the Web3 space. You would download ShopX, and then you could easily start interacting with the space with no coding expertise. So like you'd be able to do it without like hiring a developer, doing all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So to understand what Web1 is versus Web2 versus Web3, like if you want to know what Web3 is, you have to know what Web1 is. So the easiest way to think of Web1 is just think of read-only. So you could go online, and then you could read stuff, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's spread information. Web2, it could be like, think of social media as the framing, so like Instagram or Facebook. You can read, and you can write, but you can't own. So for example, I can write an Instagram post. You can read that Instagram post, but Instagram owns the post, so they can sell our data. They can cancel both of our content for whatever reason they choose, because they own the content. In Web3, it's read, write, and own. So I could write content in the form of either a cryptocurrency or NFT. I could gift you that cryptocurrency or the NFT. Now, because you own my NFT, there's a connection between me and you. Mm-hmm. Let's say my area of expertise is e-commerce, so I'm giving you e-commerce benefits. You own the content right now. So it's not me, it's not anyone. Like if I decide you're not a good customer, like I want to take it back, mm-hmm. I can't take it back from you. If the government wants to come in and take it away from you, they can't take it away from you. If mm-hmm. Amazon or Instagram wants to take it away from you, they can't take it away from you. So that's and I think that's extremely important given like who knows what we say in the podcast, like right now, like what if it's not okay 10 years on? I prefer not to be canceled, but like, and that's important. So like the NFT creates a connection between the creator and the consumer. And like, there are cool applications for this. Like for example, and I'll use Ticketmaster for example, because we're both Laker fans. Like imagine this. And I was very fortunate to be at the game where LeBron passed MJ in points. I just happened to get tickets, which is pretty sweet. So let's say hypothetically, all the tickets were NFTs. So like, you know, most people take out their phone, they just scan their phone, everything. You can have that so in that case, the stadium or whoever issues a ticket they own the ticket. So they can cancel anyone's ticket. Like even if you pay for it, like, no, you're good to go. But if you own the ticket, they can't take it away from you. And on top of that, because you own the ticket, you can sell it on the secondary market too. So instead, I don't know if you ever use Ticketmaster, you buy something like $60 and ends up being like 120 or it's like, nah. But you're just like, why is it so expensive? It's because of the fees. So in the NFT example, let's say hypothetically you buy tickets for those games, the tickets to NFT, you decide you want to sell it to me, so you can set your price or I can offer you a price. So it can be that if you like my price, you accept the price, the ownership of the ticket automatically transfers to me. So now I own the ticket. You don't own the ticket. You can't take it back. So there's no take back fees. It's like, mm-hmm. No, sorry, you sold the ticket. Let's say we go to that game. It just happens to be the game where LeBron passes MJ in points. That's a big event. The NFT acts as proof of attendance. So in the blockchain records, it's verifiably proof that this ticket is where this ticket was at the game where this special event happened. And now the stadium knows exactly who was there the whole time. And because that NFT creates a connection, it's a connection between a creator and consumer. In this case, the creator is the Lakers, the consumer is me. They know I was at the game. They can airdrop me benefits. Like, okay, you're at the LeBron game. Here's a voucher. Claim your free bobblehead. Claim your free autographed jersey. That's cool. And then the cool thing is that relationship stays too. So it's like 20 years down the line, LeBron's retirement, although we are both Kobe fans, LeBron's retirement's like, you know, these people were at this game. We have proof of it. Here's some tickets to attend this event. And so whatever benefits they want to do, they can.
Oh, man, that's cool. I never would have thought that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that's real cool right there. So let me get this straight. So like you say, like you at the game and you was there and it was a special moment, him passing Kareem up and everything. And so like later on down the line, because of the NFT, because you was there, they can offer you special things on top of that, like after the fact?
Yeah, so NFTs at its core. So like an NFT stands for non-fungible token. Mm-hmm. And the easiest way to think about that is like, if you have a piece of land in the real world, you can do what you want with it. You can build a school, you can build a garden, you can build a business. You can do nothing. It's up to you. NFTs are that in cyberspace. So there's a one of one. So my ticket is a one of one. Mm-hmm. The Lakers decided to make that physical area in cyberspace an NFT ticket. And now they know exactly which wallets own. So like, they don't know Eric McHugh owns it. They know Eric, like a wallet member owns it. So if I decide to trade it to you, the benefits will go to you. So they can just send value to the wallet address and I can send value vice versa. So that's really powerful when it in terms of like sports and like, and let's say, cause I had a friend, I have a friend too, who's like an influencer who said something he shouldn't have said. And what he said is you shouldn't target kids with adult material, which I think is fine. But he got canceled from that. And because he got canceled, his like, his gaming profile is down, his Instagram, his YouTube, his channel's taken down. He had no way to connect with his customers or his core fan base. But if he had that NFT, he could have had a connection for them and he could still send value their way. Or if it's like an artist type thing, like a music thing, because I'm a big Tupac fan. So when Tupac...
Oh, man, you better be quiet, man.
Yeah.
You said Tupac?
Yeah. No, I'm like...
Hey, yeah, we brothers.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, no, old school rap is, we'll set the stage now. The old school, I like old school music too. Like, I like rock from that ages too. Like, old school music is better than music now. And I think that's by design, but that's neither here nor there. Like,
yeah.
The point being, like, when Tupac passed away, the record labels, they took a bunch of his resources. So his family didn't get a lot. But if this were blockchain based, he could have easily just passed everything over to whom he actually wanted to. And the cool thing is with the NFTs, it's a digital land in cyberspace. Mm-hmm. So let's say we wanted to buy let's say he turned one of his songs into NFT.
Yeah.
We could then purchase a piece of that, one of those songs, like a second, 10 seconds, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. I mean, with Tupac, that'd be extremely expensive.
Yeah.
But now there's a relationship with the artist and they know who owns the song. So, like, yo, do you own a piece of my song? You're like a mega fan. Here's tickets. Here's merchandise. Here's whatever you want. And the cool thing is, if that song were ever to play on the radio, and then they get so this is all done on smart contracts in the background, so they could program it. So like, every time this song plays on the radio, you could play it 30 million times. Each time it plays, I get paid. And then the artist will get paid for every time that song gets played. Mm-hmm. Because we own a piece of the song, let's say I own a tenth of that song, I could automatically get paid too from that. So because I own that song.
Oh, man, that's cool, man. I mean, we're going to have to talk a little farther about that, you know, later on. Some of this stuff that maybe can be done, you know. I want to know more about this, man, because that's real cool. Yeah, Tupac, that's my guy, man. So, E, tell us a little bit about your journey, man, on how you got to where you are now, you know, from where you came from to where you are now. And let's not leave out how intelligent you are, man, with that 140 IQ that you have, man.
Yeah, no, and so the journey, I'm just kind of winging it. So I'm living in the present moment, and so I believe in authenticity. So we both believe in God. I think God gave me individual gifts. I think he gave you individual gifts. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm the best me in the world. So if you try to be me, you can't beat me at being me, but I can't beat you at being you. And I also think we're happiest serving other people. So if your goal is to serve as many people as possible, the best way for you to do that is to follow your individual gifts because you're number one in the world. So I'm just kind of following my intellectual curiosity, and it led me to these two particular companies. So how I got to where I am, I honestly do just winging it. So like, I graduated college. I interned in Barcelona and DC during college, which both pretty sweet experiences, but they're polar opposites. Like, Barcelona is like obviously super relaxed, whereas DC is like 8 a.m. you're in your suit and tie and like the humid, like the swamp metro, and you're just like fully wet back.
Yeah.
My first job out of college was working at Snapcraft, their ad algorithm. I mean, that was a cool experience. It was more just like, okay, I want to work in tech. That's a good start. Mm-hmm. Then I got the job as a bankruptcy consultant. And from there, that's when I was really getting into Bitcoin and cryptocurrency ethos. And the consultant job didn't align with that ethos. So that's why I ended up quitting that. I didn't really have a plan. I started going to cryptocurrency meetups in my local area. We met the original ShopX team. We've been building ShopX ever since. And while we were ideating a problem for ShopX, because like a lot of times when you're building like software, it's a bunch of whiteboard stuff, and you're just like, nah. Mm-hmm. Like, we came up with another problem, the affiliate code. So we spun off another SaaS platform that replaced affiliate codes for brands. That ended up getting funded, and we worked at one of the top incubators in the world. And incubator is essentially startup school. So like, our desk comp was next, another desk comp, which is next, another desk comp. And so at that age, I was surrounded by like CEOs, CTOs, CMOs in different levels of companies and in different industries. So I absorbed as much knowledge as I possibly could. And everything we have has just been funneled back into new companies. So we've been running ShopX since then. Dotta Inc. came about because I was on a crypto podcast tour a while back. I went on one called The Crypto Economy. It's with this dude named Mark. We kept in touch. We became friends. And then eventually this random like data thing started following me on Twitter. I'm like, what is this? Oh, it's Mark. I'm thinking of starting this. And we got on the phone. I'm like, oh, this is funny. It's actually a really good idea. And we've been building that ever since. But my biggest impact for me, like the biggest help that I've had is having the spiritual perspective. And that's a long journey of just like self-work, meditation. It sounds a bit woo, but like just being positive and just finding the right materials. I went to a 10-day Vipassana meditation retreat earlier this year, and that's been the most beneficial experience I've ever had. So what that is, it's 10 full days, just straight meditation, noble silence.
Hey, it's Sean Nelson, founder and CEO of Lovesac and host of the Let Me Save You 25 Years podcast. Curious how successful people really made it? Tune in to hear from guests like Travis Mills, a true American hero, and Nate Checkitz, co-founder of Roan. We dive deep into their stories and lessons that shape them so you can skip the trial and error and get straight to the good stuff. You can find me wherever you get your podcasts. That's Let Me Save You 25 Years with Sean Nelson. Listen now.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
So no talking, no reading, no nothing. You're just sitting there doing inner work. And it's the method the Buddha used to reach enlightenment. So the first 3 days, you spend your time focusing on your attention around your nostril. And then once you do that, you start to pick up different sensations. And then you go to scan your body back and forth over and over again. And this extracts the traumas you've stored in your body throughout your whole life. So just like a NASA scientist, if you want to send a piece of metal into space, you need it 100% pure. The best way to purify is to run it through magnets. The magnets extract the impurities of the metal. You're just doing that on a spiritual perspective. So after that, and you close the meditation by storing up all your energy in your head, and you wish everyone in the world peace, love, and happiness, and turns out they wish it back to you. And this is really important in business and in life too, because I think of everything in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. So if you're saying you're sad, you're at a certain frequency. You're saying you're shame, certain frequency. You're saying you're loving, you're at a certain frequency. And just like a radio station, if you turn to a specific radio station frequency, you get that radio station. So if that's why sad people attract sad people, angry people attract angry people, loving people attract loving people attract loving people. But since I've done the spiritual work, I genuinely wish everyone the best. I'm trying to help as many people I have. And it turns out that's really beneficial for me, because if I'm wishing you the best, subconsciously, you're going to start wishing me the best. And that's how you build a proper relationship, which that either turns into friendship or business relationship. It's like, who cares? Because we're just trying to help each other. We're not trying to like wriggle as much value from you as possible. It's like, no, I'm trying to help and you're trying to help. It's a win-win.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And like you say, especially like I'm listening to you about the frequency things, and a lot of times what it just boils down to, especially when you say that I'm wishing you success in your business. You know, it's not taking anything away from me. I just genuinely wish that you succeed, and who knows what, you know, what kind of partnership, like you say, with the guy that you met and y'all became friends. And now, you know, now y'all getting into business partnership because of the friendship that y'all created then. And a lot of times it's the renewing of the mind. You know, like once you start renewing your mind on positive things, and then some things that you used to view negatively, you don't view it the same no more. You know, it's a different type of energy, like you were saying, man. So I do think that the spiritual aspect plays a big part in our development in life.
Yeah. And honestly, dude, you kind of need it, because like I think where your attention goes, your energy flows. So if you're thinking about negative stuff, that's where your energy is going, and you just mass produce more negative stuff. And on top of that, like I believe in quantum too, where like in this present moment, everything, like all possibilities are happening right now. And the one that we're showing right now is the one we're paying attention to. And on top of that, like we're going throughout our day, like we're missing 99, like we're not consciously registering 99.9% of the stuff that's happening. And if we're limiting, if we have that limited capacity to register stuff, if we have a negative frame in our lens, let's say 50 positive things happen, 50 negative things happen, you're only going to see the negative things just because we can't measure everything all. But if you have that positive frame, you're going to see the positive things that happen. You're like, nice, this day is going well. And then that day goes well. And then all of a sudden you take that energy the next day goes well. And then you have two good days, goes into a third. Now you're on a streak and now you're on a roll. You get good habits. You slowly get better and better. And so it's a double-edged sword too. It can work negatively too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with you. And so, on top of, you know, you're talking about you and your friend building this one business that you have. How do one build a business from the ground up?
So it's pretty much just a bunch of failing. So like a lot of things. The most important thing is just to start. Like it sounds cliche, like just to start, but like, let's say you have an idea. You're like, okay, well, the idea is going to sit in your head forever if you don't act on it. Like you have to act. You can't just like manifest like $1 million and just write that note. It's like you have to actually take steps to get that. It's like just start. It's like create a Google Drive folder or something with a business name. Then, okay, why the Google Drive folder? What do I need? I need an engineering department. I need a marketing department. I need a business development. You break out those folders. Like, okay, I made a marketing department. What goes in there? Oh, social media. Well, I have a social media folder, but I have no social media. And then you make the social media. And like, I think once the student is ready, the teacher appears itself, or once you start walking the path, you just know what you have to do. So you have to do that. You have to set your strong intention too. It's like, so for dotting, we're going to match 1 billion happy couples. So because I set that intention strongly, the universe is a quantum collapse into the reality where that happens. But how we get there, I don't know. We're figuring out as we go along. And on top of that, I view everyone as a conscious creator, whether they know it or not. So when you are building your business, just don't take anything away from anyone and don't harm anyone. And you should be good to go. Cause I think we both believe in karma. You do good. If you do good, you get good. But if you do bad, you get bad. So just do good.
Yeah. That's a good point to live on, you know, like just put out positive energy and, you know, hoping that you get positive energy back. Like you say, basically whatever you put out is what you're going to get back. And so I like the point where you say that, to actually just start writing the things down, you know, even in the book, it say, write the vision plain, you know, and once you start seeing it, then develop it. Because one thing that you said, and I always say this too, I want $1 million. But, you know, you hear people saying all the time, I want $1 million. But what are you actually doing to try to get that $1 million? You know, it's like, you got to put it in a plan. Me just saying it is not going to bring. So I got to, if I say that I want $1 million, I got to try to do something to try to get it. Whether I get it or not, that's neither here nor there. But as long as I'm putting forth an effort, you know, not just saying I want $1 million. No, I'm trying to get to $1 million.
A consistent effort too. Like you can't just put it, it's like the gym. It's like the gym and meditation is all the same. Like you can't meditate for one day. I mean, meditating for one day of the month is better than zero, but at the same time, going to the gym one day of the month is better than zero, but like, it's about that consistent effort, just day after day, slowly trudging along, and then you eventually meet your goal. And on top of that, I think it's an important point to touch, it's just a good message, like, yeah, if you want $1 million, the most logical thing you can do is to be giving with your money too. So if you want $1 million, you want a monetary value, that's perfectly fine. Because to me, money is neutral. You can make money in good ways by adding value to people's lives. Fantastic. And you can make money in bad ways by taking away. Not so fantastic. But if you want that $1 million, what you want to do is be in the state of abundance, because the universe will recognize you're saying abundance and you'll eventually get that $1 million. So how do you show abundance? You give to other people. Because if you're in scarcity, if you're hoarding, you're like, I need every cent, every dollar, I need to stash away like Scrooge McDuck. The universe is like, oh, this guy's scarce. He's not getting stuff. But if you're giving your abundance, like this guy, he's abundant. And they'll give you the opportunities that you have to take advantage of to get to $1 million. It's not going to give you $1 million. Like, okay, he's abundant. He meets this guy who can help him. It's up to him whether he wants to follow through with that relationship. Or he has this one random idea, like one spiritual like a download. He's like, okay, let's see if this is a good idea. And let's see if he follows through with it. And you just have to keep following through on it, and you'll eventually get that $1 million.
I'm going to keep that with him in my memory bank right there. Because, you know, I do agree with that, too. You got to have a giving heart. Cause a lot of times, I believe, and I move on from this, I believe that, you know, when something is given to you, it's not just necessarily for you. You know, a lot of times things that's given to you is actually for others. Okay. You know, that's just how I look at it. But so what, okay, you explained it earlier. You know what? It talked about you being a chess player. So how good of a chess player are you?
It really depends on the competition. It really depends what I'm doing. So like if I'm serious and I'm playing large games, I'm roughly around 1,100 on my like the account that I actually just try on. But a lot of times I'm really just messing around. Like I'm trying different things. So like I'll do different moves. It's like I'll try to bait them. It's like I'll just throw like a random chess move. I'll say, oh, do you want to actually take the piece? It's more so I'm good. So I can beat some really good people, but I can also lose to some really bad people. It's more about the fun and the hobby of things. But it's had two very important lessons to me. Like the biggest important lesson I've learned from chess is you could screw up on the last move, or you could have made the best move possible the last move. Either way, the best thing you can do in this move is to make the best possible move in this move. And the last move doesn't matter as much. You just had to keep making the best possible move. And then that puts you in the best position to win the game. And the second thing that chess has really helped me with is it helped me clean up my diet. So your diet isn't like just your food you eat. It's the people you're around. It's the content you consume. So just like if you eat bad food, that's bad for you. You have no energy the next day. But if you eat good food, you have good energy. If you're hanging around bad people, you'll have no energy. But if you hang around good people, you have good energy. So like I was on Instagram once. I'm like, okay, if I scroll through my reels, how much of these reels add value to my life? It turns out it was zero. So but at this point, I'm 30. So I'm also addicted to Instagram via dopamine, just years of training. I'm trying to unaddict myself, but like they did a good job. But now instead of Instagram, I have Instagram on my social media folder, and right next to my Instagram account is my chess.com account. So whenever I feel the urge to mindlessly scroll reels, I'll play a couple games of chess, which is a much healthier way to redirect that energy into something positive.
Okay. So, I mean, I just had to ask, I take it too, you know, I'm not a chess player. I've played it, dibble and dabble, did it. And so, I look at the things that you're doing just in life, period, and then just focusing on chess. It's like, it's always the next move. Cause you said something about you can make the best move, or you can make the best, your best move at the end, or you can make your worst move. But it also got you thinking ahead too. You know, like after I make a move, what's my next move? And then you got to counter somebody else's move, you know? So I think it helps with the mindset. Like you say, the meditation and just the moving on and just combining them in life, period.
Yeah, no, it's an extremely positive way to frame your mind to think about stuff. So like I guarantee you a lot of the decisions I make, whether it be in a personal relationship or business, has been affected by chess just because it's been programmed in. So like, and again, like having that type of strategic thinking, just like positioning thinking, just forward thinking, know when to win, know when to chill, know when to play defense, know when to play offense, knowing which position on the board you always want, just having that in the background. It's usually not even conscious most of the time, to be honest, but just having that in the background, just I think it gives you an advantage. And just having an advantage and you want as many advantages as you can, just because if you want to make as an easy life possible for you, and if you have more advantages, the easier it is for you.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. The more advantages you have, the more opportunities, you know what I'm saying, you can open up, and the more opportunities that you have in life, period. And so yeah, with that being said, man, so besides chess, What other hobbies do you like besides chess and doing the web thing?
Yeah, so my main other hobbies are hiking. So I live in a beautiful town. Like, I like to get as much nature as I can. It's like I'll break out hikes in the sun. Meditation is also the biggest beneficial. It's another hobby that I do. So chess, hiking, meditation, and the last one's Muay Thai. So those four hobbies pretty much take up most of my hobby time. And Muay Thai is the same as chess. Meditation and hiking are similar in the similar aspects too. But yeah, I don't know. Like you said, I like hanging out with friends. I like going to live sports. I like doing normal stuff. I like to play video games. I have a gun to like shoot. But I would say those are my big four.
Oh, okay. So let me ask you a question as far as the video game thing, because this is one thing that I had to learn, and sometimes I had to learn to put it away. Because when I'm working on something, you know, like I'm working on podcast or whatever, and so I get into the video game, and then I get into it so tough, I'm putting away the thing that I should be doing because I'm trying to beat GTA or something. You know? I'm trying to make this $30 million in GTA and do it all. And so I just looked at it at a point too, man, where sometimes it can become a distraction. And so, you know, I probably haven't played in probably like 8 or 9 months because I had to focus on what I was actually doing. So have you ever ran across that type of mindset? Well, you just had to force it down?
Not for a while, because and this is helpful in startups too, like, because in startups, you have to do a bunch of different tasks. So a lot of times you have to time box your tasks. Like, okay, for the next 30 minutes, I'm working on social media. And once that 30 minutes is up, it's up and you move on to the next one. You don't just kind of like dilly dally and just kind of lag, because that wastes a lot of time. Because, like, you know, if you have 30 minutes to do something, it'll take you 30 minutes to do something. But if you have 2 hours to do the same task, it'll take you 2 hours to do the same task. So, like, time boxing helps with that. And I've always time boxed my video games. Mm. So I'm like, okay, if I'm playing for an hour, I'm playing for an hour. Like, I'm not really doing anything else because I'm playing for my hour. But once that hour is up, no video games. So it doesn't, and the same with Instagram too, right? It can get you in that mindless, just like aimlessly, just like scrolling. Video games kind of have a similar effect if you're not careful. But at the same time, like, yo, if you want to relax, play a video game, playing video games, like, no, nothing wrong with that. Do what you enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you too. And on that, with me, you know, I didn't have a time box. Actually, I'm just not getting into organizing things on a daily basis. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, today my Monday list. And so this is what I'm going to do on Mondays. And this is what I do on Tuesday. Instead of trying to, you know, lump things together and just doing tasks as you go. Now I'm getting into that time box thing. This is what I'm going to spend on this day. This is what I'm going to spend on that day. So I don't lump them all together. And in a sense, it's kind of helping me better be more organized in what I'm actually trying to do.
Yeah, no, it helps you focus your attention on your attention as your superpower. Like, wherever your attention goes, that's your energy flows. So if you know you have your Monday things to do, you'll do a better job with the Monday things versus, because I used to be that way too. It's just really just like jump around doing a bunch. Because I think I probably studied ADHD, but like, jumping around and doing stuff always works. But if I have that loose structure, it works well. It's like, for me, I have my opener, so I wake up at 4:20 because I find that funny. So, and I meditate, that's my opener. Then I go to the gym. And then my closing thing is Muay Thai. So during the middle of the day, it's roughly free-flowing. It's like based on pretty much my calendar. So people can schedule stuff. But on top of that, I have a loose schedule of like when I want to do stuff. Like, for example, one of those podcasts, it's a Monday. I know to schedule most of my podcasts, it just happens to be Monday and Tuesdays when I schedule that. I know Wednesdays is roughly if I have to, that's when I kind of focus my tech work. Mm-hmm. And then, so like I have each day for each like outline for the task. And if something comes, like obviously it's like, I'll go on a podcast Wednesday, I'll do tech work on Tuesday. It's all like absolute, but having the general outline has been helpful for me.
Yeah, I agree with that. So you say that when you try to help somebody that's seeking to have a better life and freedom in this digital age, what does that actually mean?
Yeah, no, and it's a good point. When someone's seeking that, so you can help them. You can't help someone if they don't want to help themselves. And at that point, it's an opportunity cost because you're just burning resources that you could be helping someone else. And you bring your time and energy for that. So in terms of seeking freedom in the digital age, I think crypto and Bitcoin and cryptocurrency will offer age of abundance by fixing the incentive structure. So the first and easiest low-hanging fruit, as we talked about, like the uncancelability of everything. Like, I don't like the fact that Instagram can cancel my account. Let's say one of us pushes the wrong buttons of some kid whose dad is like in Congress or something. He's like, these guys suck. I want them both canceled. Then they call up the representative in Facebook and they get both canceled. So that goes away with the cryptocurrency thing. But I think the more important thing is to think about the incentive structure as society as a whole. So right now, if I want to become rich, and again, being rich is neutral. If I can add value to become rich, good. But if I want to become rich without producing any value for other people, the easiest way for me to do that is to place myself right next to the money printer, aka the Federal Reserve, and I take as much money as possible. So now I'm getting rich. What do? I give it to my friends in government, or like I give it to my friends, like in terms of like money laundering contracts, all that, like $8 billion for HRD stations. That money is going there, effectively making us all poor. And on top of that, because I have access to unlimited money, I'll get those three positions of power. Now there's three of us who have access to unlimited money. If we have access to unlimited money, aka lobbying, we're going to beat the people who are good too. So it creates a problem of corruption starting at the top, which I think is an issue. But in a Bitcoin, yeah, well, it's clearly an issue because look at, in a Bitcoin world, let's say I want to make as much Bitcoin as possible. The only way for me to do that is produce value. So CJ, if I wanted your Bitcoin, I love your Bitcoin. I can't inflate it away from you. I can't take it away from you. The only way for me to get your Bitcoin is for me to produce something of value for you. And then you send me your Bitcoin. So now if I want as much Bitcoin as possible, I have to produce a lot of value for a lot of people as possible. And if we go back to the original statement of everyone being happy serving other people and having the natural gifts as possible, the only logical way for me to get as much Bitcoin is to follow my natural gifts and serve people. Because if I want to come in Bitcoin, I better serve a lot of people because that's how I'm going to get their Bitcoin. And if that's the base incentive, like our generation, well, whatever, we'll die. It's fine. But like imagine 3-4 generations down the line where people's base incentive is to produce value versus how do I extract value? So it creates a system of value creation versus value extract. Because if we can increase the size of our pie, it helps everyone. But if we're just fighting over that like biggest piece, it doesn't help anyone.
Yeah. So like, I'm not really big into crypto. You know, you get people trying to ask you, do you know about crypto and this? Now, I mean, from listening to you and listening to others, I do believe that it's a big thing that I probably should, you know, want to know more about. And so that's something that I'm going to put on the bulletin board again, because I said there's some things I want to talk to you, you know, off the show, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, get more insight. But this is my last question, man. We can wrap it up on this. You talked about it earlier. And so, you know, I just want to end it on this note right here. So what is the future of Web3?
Yeah, so the future of Web3, and I think it's important for your listeners too, like if you are interested in cryptocurrency, the best place to start would be a guy named Andreas Antonopoulos. He has YouTube lectures. He breaks it down. He's passionate about it because he's from Greece. His parents also made it. That's a good place to start. The future of Web3, I would say it's 10 years out from mass adoption. And for Web3 to be massively adopted, I have to take out my phone, or my mom has to take out her phone, do her Web3 thing, claim the e-commerce benefit, paying everything by tappity tap tap. Mm-hmm. And she has no idea what's going on. So I would say that's 10 years out. And the reason it's out and not right now is two main reasons. The first is user interface. So as I can't send my mother to a Web3 app, it's confusing. It's just not going to work. So the user interface has to get better. But the cool thing is Web3 is composable, meaning it takes advantage of the compound interest of software, meaning people just copy and paste each other's code and optimize it, to be honest. But we have the big players getting in. So like once Nike gets in, they come up with a solution because they're not going to send their customers through like a janky experience. Adidas sees that, Reebok sees it, they have to get in. All the other brands can copy and optimize what Nike did, and it fixes the user interface that way. And the second and more important issue is incentives. Like right now, a lot of people don't have any reason to interact with the Web3 space. Like, so it's like, why would I interact if I don't care? Like I have no real reason. I have no skin in the game. Mm-hmm. And that's where companies like ShopX and other companies are helping with that. Like ShopX, you like the brand's e-commerce benefits with a Web3 product. You buy the product, you get the benefits, you're in the space, you learn more because you have some skin in the game. Or, for example, if I get our biggest client is Fox TV. They show Cryptopolis. They have an NFT collection. You get exclusive benefits. So you get like merchandise. Your crab chicken may show up on the show. You get exclusive content. If you want that content, you enter the space. And more brands are doing that. So in terms of the evolution of Web3, so we're at like Web 2.5 right now. Web3 is, again, like 5 to 10 years out. Mm. I would say Web 4 is like the metaverse, VR, AI, crypto, just all baked into one. So like, if you've seen the movie Ready Player One, yeah. I think it's gonna be like that, which I think is slightly dystopian. So I think Web 5 is everyone's gonna have enough of that. I'm like, all right, I have enough of this. I'm gonna go outside and get some sun.
Yeah,
because it always circles back. It's always a spiral.
So yeah, man, very very interesting stuff, man, that you laid on us today. So in closing, man, is there anything else besides the Web 3s and things that you're working on and your ShopX and the date app, man? Is there anything else that you're working on that we can look forward to?
No, those are the two things that are calling me right now. I mean, I'm always doing the inner work, and I have to push this one last time. If you haven't tried meditation, it's been the most beneficial thing I've ever started. So check it out if it interests you. But if not, obviously feel free to ignore, because no one can force them to do anything.
I get you. Hey, so this has been your boy and my man, E. We going to a Lakers game, too, when I come.
Yes. Yes, sir.
My man, I hope you got something from it today. Enjoy your day. Sit back, meditate, get your mind right, and let's make that $1 million with this crypto. All right, man, it's your boy, CJ Moneyway. We out of here.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.